I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. I don't know how to ice skate. My memory of ice skating is my armpits were hurting. Why? Because my dad was holding me up with his hands in my armpits. And the moment he let go,
they
should have.
They should have. I can see this. I was thinking about you. I was like trying to imagine you on skis, and it was making me laugh.
Could you imagine being my dad, a straight guy, the straight man
holding up your gay son as he like Bambi on ice?
That is so. And like, you don't know that it's gonna get better for gay people.
No.
You're just like, God, this condition my son has.
You just say
so
he is just never gonna skate. We just gotta keep him away from the rink.
Hey, Nico.
Hey, Con.
I love you.
I love you.
No homo.
A little bit of homo for me.
Just a little?
Just a smidge. From two guys who were never part of the boys club, we want to welcome you to ours.
Welcome to Boys Club.
This is our podcast.
About boys.
And about other things.
Like their clubs.
And the things we were a part of.
Hockey.
And we're not a part of.
Bagels.
Wait, did you say we were a part of hockey?
No, I wasn't.
Me neither. Welcome to the club, boys.
Grab a bagel.
Connor's like, what do boys eat?
My feelings.
We'll start from now. Ready?
Start.
Hey, Connor.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
It's just us today. I'm okay. I'm all right. You know, we just, as we were saying before we got on the microphones, we're fresh off some news from the industry that Just for Laughs is going under.
Has that rattled your mood?
A little bit. I mean, I woke up, I don't know, I've been kind
of... Hey, your check still cashes. You still have a shirt or something.
I have a badge. Okay, well, for the listeners at home, for the boys at home who don't know what this is, Just for Laughs is a Canadian-based, Montreal-based...
gatekeeper. And not in a bad way. I actually don't mean that in a bad way. It probably came out bad. I don't mean it, though.
It's a comedy festival company that has, like, a bunch of comedy festivals. Their main one every year is in Montreal. And every year they do a festival, part of the festival, one of their flagship, like, kind of big institutions is the New Faces Showcase, where they bring out, like, 20 comedian, or I guess it's 50 total between the different categories, but there's, like, 50 new comedians that are, like, new faces in the industry, and it's supposed to be, like, a big honor and like, entrance into the industry, and, like, huge names in the past have, like, been new faces, like Mike Birbiglia, Ali Wong, some big names, et cetera. And anyway, it's been around for like 25 years, and they just announced that they're not doing it this year, and they went bankrupt, and they're like canceling everything.
No one's talking about what this means for Canada.
Yeah, why don't
they have a ton happening over there?
I know, what's going on with Canada?
Do you think that the GDP will suffer?
I feel for the Canadian new faces because that's always like such a big. It was always kind of weird to me that, like, it takes place in Canada and there's 10 Canadian new faces and 40 American new faces.
I know, and those people probably are. It's kind of like you're at Cornell and they cancel, I don't know, Beach Week.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, we're already fucking in Cornell and now we're not even going to get Beach Week. Or they say it's no longer in Ivy. And you're like, you're telling me that we're in the middle of this cold place? They're going right to the gorges.
And it's not first. Even an Ivy anymore. Yeah, that is kind of how it feels.
That's hard.
I don't know. We were talking about it with some friends too, some other community. I don't know. The industry is in a weird spot, I feel, because...
But you know who's always been in a weird spot? Gay people, especially me.
True.
And you. We've always been in a weird spot.
True.
You think I'm not used to... pivoting. You think True. When I got out of jail, they said you need to leave college. And I said, I think I want to have a conversation about that. And they said, okay, you can stay.
Wow. I didn't know that part of the lore.
Oh, you don't know the part where I said, I want to stay and help other kids like me.
Wow.
You don't know the part where I told Whitney Gregory, the dean of students, that I wanted to enact good change.
Make for a change.
Yeah. I said, I just feel like there were no resources available and I want that not to be true for anyone.
Good
else.
For you. Flip it on them. Tell me you failed me actually.
Oh yeah.
You failed
no,
me.
Nico, at no point was I ever incapable of manipulation. I will never use that against you. I really won't because I love you.
I know.
But you know that I will fuck anyone up. I will fucking ruin anyone. But I did. I was like told Whitney Gregory, I said, he actually took a step further. I said, I want to start a sobriety support group.
Wow. And then, nobody came.
Well, I didn't tell you this part of the story.
No, didn't you sign? You booked a room and then you never went.
Do you know what room it was?
It was like the... Oh, yes. It was like something maybe you shouldn't have been using.
But no one else was using it, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
It was the African American Resource Center.
Mm.
And there weren't a lot of resources in there.
Yeah.
And there was a white gay guy hosting a sobriety support group that never told anyone about it. But if they were like, when's your support group? I'd be like, oh, it's this time, this place.
That's nice.
And I'd sit there and work on my acting homework or whatever.
That's so funny. Yeah. Well, I feel Maddie just put it best. She said this seems, because we were just talking about it over text, and because I feel that there is this like duality happening right now, where on the one hand there is like this push towards online content, and like everybody is watching Instagram reels, and we saw the rise of Matt Rife, and we saw like you know there's this whole like kind of middle class of like working comedian of like people who have like 300k followers and touring all over the place and can almost live anywhere, and it's kind of got this weird new sort of middle ground for stand-up, but there isn't a lot of this, like Comedy Central is all but forgotten. You know, New Faces just fell apart. Netflix is kind of has a new face sort of thing that they're, you know, getting off the ground. This is, I've only done it 1 year so far. They're doing their second year this year. So it's like a weird
Wait,
thing.
Wait, you feel quiet.
You can't hear me?
No, you're just quieter than usual.
Well, I'm sadder than usual, maybe. I don't know.
You want your piece to pop more.
You want my piece to pop. But the, anyway, but so there's this like, there's this push for like online and this kind of like putting it on us to have to generate all of our own stuff. And on the one hand, obviously there is like some benefit to, you know, having control of your own social media and being able to find avenues that way. On the other hand, obviously social media is not rewarding everybody the same. Certain people get pushed in the algorithm, other people don't. And like also, you know, we've talked about before, like if our videos go viral, that does leave us open to a lot of hate comments. And like
you more than me. Mine are nice.
Yeah, mine.
Wait, I feel bad for saying that.
No, it's okay. Mine are, the thing that's kind of sucks is like I find that either mine are nice or it goes viral. There's no in between. There's never it gets really big and only the right people find it. It's either it gets really big and all the wrong people find it,
totally.
Or it, there's like no middle ground. And I kind of feel like maybe these fucking Meta and stuff like that are just using some bullshit blanket AI to just basically like hamper all trans content so that like it doesn't get any, because they're probably getting a lot of people being like, this is hateful, this is hateful, instead of actually like engaging with it and trying to fix it.
Oh my god,
they're just not letting it get out.
There's no fix for that.
No, there's not, and they don't want to, they don't care.
That's a disaster.
Yeah, so it's kind of like,
crap, the fix for that was institutions like JFL that could lift up trans comedians,
right?
And, oh shit,
you know, so there's like, so anyway, so there's, on the one hand there's that, but on the other hand I do feel like there are a lot of people who I think are over it with online stuff, like just in general. Like there's a push towards reusable or disposable cameras are back. There's people who are like, I think a lot of people are feeling addicted to their phones and trying to get off of it. I think a lot of people are trying to get like back to like being in person and a lot of the things. Like,
well, I famously and really effectively work in group fitness sometimes.
Yeah.
And I do feel like there, so during the coronavirus, we were doing Pilates in people's houses, mm-hmm, over Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this kind of thought that people wouldn't want to get back, like that this was going to be the new thing.
Yeah.
Peloton rose really fast.
Yeah.
Over the pandemic. And Peloton's doing bad. No one's doing online workouts anymore.
Yeah.
People didn't ultimately want that. So maybe that will happen. People wanted to be in person. People want to live a normal life.
Yeah.
So like, I think live performance.
And I do think that, like, I think something we're learning and something that the industry is going to adjust for eventually. I think we're in a place of real rocky, in general, everything's rocky. We've got two horrible presidential candidates. There's a war in Gaza. There's, like, a genocide, I should say. There's all kinds of things happening, horrible things happening all over the world. Trans people are being attacked. Like, there's all kinds of chaos that we're just, like, I think trying to find our way through right now. And I think this is another just, like, I don't know, technology meets late-stage capitalism.
The center cannot hold.
Yeah, issue. So I don't know what's, I don't know. But I do think in terms of the, ultimately the lowest thing on the poll here is the comedy industry in terms of all the things I just listed. But I do think it's going to find its footing eventually, whatever that may be. Because I think with like Matt Rife as an example, mega on TikTok, huge. Every, you know, his crowd work videos go crazy. People love him, whatever. His real content sucks. His writing is bad. His jokes are horrible. Even people who were like a big fan of his watched his special and were like, well, that fucking sucked.
Yeah.
And so like, I think the industry is going to realize that it's like those two things are separate. Like what goes viral? Because I think about TikTok. What's on my TikTok feed is like random videos from random things. People I never want to engage with again. I see a funny video of a duck. I don't know even who that was. I don't know who it was. I don't care. You know what I mean? I think there are some people who do have these like consistent, like sort of like vlog type followings and things like that. And there are people that have like recurring patrons, and some people probably do engage with TikTok that way. But I think a lot of people engage with it as the algorithm is set up, that it's just like a constant stream of stupid, random 1 second little things.
Oh my God, I hate that.
You know what I mean?
For me, it's literally like, how do I do a rear delt press?
Yeah, but it's like, do you remember any of the people that you follow? Or you're just like looking at what you look at?
No, it's always an Australian man telling me how to do a rear delt press.
Yeah. And it's like, Anyway.
I don't follow anyone. My TikTok is private. I don't like that app. I'm not engaging with it.
I know, me neither.
I want them to outlaw it. My only political stance is they should outlaw TikTok, and that would help me.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. But the all this to say, I think that like the way... Then if you go to a live performance, it's a totally different thing.
I know. Well, brag. A lot of my reels, FYI, is like, I actually, you know, this used to be a longer format. You know, we used to have callbacks.
Yeah.
You know, we used to actually be able to drop your stay-at-home dad kind of into a different joke, and it would be funny because you already knew that you had a stay-at-home dad. Like, and now it's just like, here's 60 seconds of a cohesive joke that's kind of like, blah, blah, like a one-off. And it's like, that's not what this art was.
Yeah.
So real comedy, it's like R-E-E-L comedy, like that stand-up, it's a different format.
I agree 100%. It's like there's so many jokes I have there. I'm like, well, this, like, even if it's a joke that's like 2 minutes long, it's too long for a reel.
Yeah.
It's too long. And it's like, maybe I can, you know, because nobody's going to watch for 2 minutes.
And how often do you drop something in a reel in a joke that is from a earlier part of a set where everyone's with you? They spend 30 minutes with you.
Right.
They know you.
Right.
Even 10 minutes. They could have, like, it's way more. That's just like not, oh my God, this is the craziest thing I'm ever going to say. I just realized how marginalized we are. Because also, like, our identities are a big part of, especially yours, mine to a lesser extent, but to an extent of like what our jokes are. And it probably is easier for just like someone whose identity really has nothing to do kind of like with their comedy.
Yeah.
At least in an explicit way, to like make content that is like 60 minute palatable.
And it's also like a weird thing where you're like, okay, do I have to try to write something towards wanting to like gain a following on this? But then it's like, at what cost? Like, you reap what you sow. So like, if I put out stuff that I don't want in my actual act, then who's coming to see me?
Yeah.
People who are seeing this part of me.
Oh, like, what is it? Because I always think with Brooklyn open mics that, like, I'd never want to sit through a 4 minute mic, but I do think that, like, we are lessening. Like, in Manhattan, everyone's doing 5. Mm-hmm. Here, everyone's doing 3, 2.5 even. What does that mean for the kind of things that people are writing here?
Yeah.
Like, we need to be able to work out longer things.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was always like that, or that is kind of a reflection of like what is happening online and how that's actually changing the live form.
Yeah.
To your point. Yeah.
And it's also like there's no, and for better or for worse, I guess, it's not a meritocracy online, but there is this like, you know, unless you have a video that is like clearly produced by it's clearly like a Netflix video, or it's clearly like, you know, an HBO special or something like that. You maybe don't, you know, you have that like kind of ethos of like what, somebody decided you are a funny enough comedian to have a special.
Yeah.
But on TikTok, anybody can... We've seen people post videos of open mics.
I know.
Anybody can post anything at any time. And it's considered... It's all the same thing. So it's like... Also puts everybody into this weird hodgepodge that every... Like, of just way too much content and way too much to sift through. And it's like, how are people supposed to know what they're supposed to be looking for? Or like, there's no sort of like... curation of taste or any sort of like cultural understanding of like what this is supposed to be.
I know. Wait, that's really true. It's funny, like, because in some ways it's more it's good for people in that, like, you can be a gay comedian, guess what, you can find gay people all over the world that will engage with the kind of jokes that you actually want to write.
Totally.
But at the same time, it's like, but you are still on this app where now there's so many freaking people churning out content.
Yeah. I fear you and I are getting closer and closer to the day where we have to video this.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, it's good. I'm
boys. We're going to do a bulk kicking and a fucking screaming.
No, I'm like in my hot.
Listen, we've both always been in our hot.
Wait, FYI. I know. Wait, I for sure, especially when, cause hot is relative, and like in that sense, we've always been super hot compared to everyone else. But like, I do feel a little bit like, what's the thing in a cocoon?
A butterfly?
I feel like before...
Caterpillar.
I feel like a caterpillar. I'm just telling you, like, come July...
You guys don't even want to know.
So we could do video in July.
Okay.
I'll be ready.
When we have tank tops.
Can you tell that I'm bulking?
You look great.
What a crazy question.
I'm not going to dominate your body.
What you and my dad have in common is that you both have to field inappropriate questions about my body. And then I see you guys kind of, like, work through that. Like, what a question is that? Like, what's the right answer?
Yeah.
Like, my mom... Well, never mind.
But anyway, sorry to start up top with some industry shop talk, but I guess you people at home should know, you boys at home should know that at the end of the day, we
the best thing you can do is share my reels and also his and also queer people. And it's kind of like, I actually think that if we unionize
and
as
come
a group,
to live performances, come to live shows,
it's better. I
support
promise
live
it's
art.
Better.
It's so much more fun. There's a community feel to that. That is like, that's the same thing with what you were saying with like the workout classes. It's like, you can't replace the feeling of being with people. And that's something that like the internet and technology and robots will never have. They will never be human. And that is what we are alive for, is to be around other people and to be human and to like get closer and closer to the center of what it means to be human.
It's so beautiful.
And so like any, I don't know, like the internet can be a tool for us to find ways to be more human and to be more connected. But when we're more disconnected, it's bad.
This love is good. This love is bad. This love is alive back from the dead. Oh, 1989. This love. This okay. I have a boys club. It's anyone that uses party as a verb. Grow up.
Okay.
Grow the fuck up.
You don't want people to say let's party.
No, that's not a person I want around me.
Okay.
That's not a person I trust unless you do that. I've never heard you do that.
I don't think so.
People who are like, let's party, that's very like boy mom who still goes on girls trips because glory days.
I'm trying to remember like the last time I've heard, like I'm trying to think of an instance where I've heard somebody earnestly say, let's party.
It was my aunt. She died.
Oh,
and that's, but she didn't
die
partying.
Why, and that's why.
That's the saddest part. She didn't even die doing what she loved partying.
Wow.
She did get pretty crazy by the end because they started putting on all these drugs. She started telling the truth right at the end. But like, she was a bummer of a person. I'm sorry. But like, she was a tough person for a long time.
Wow.
Yeah, but she was very like, I don't know. I feel like that's, party is very like glory days. The best days are behind us. And it's like,
sure,
our best days are always in front of us.
Yeah, yeah.
Always.
So I'm trying to think of situations where it would be appropriate to say, let's party. I don't know. That feels like a bad line in a movie where they're like, the dad has just like driven away and like the kids are like, okay, the house is ours now. They're going to Canada for the weekend. Let's party.
Yeah. Like you're, people do say it earnestly. It's like the guy with the, as Fran was describing, a visor on the side of the head turned upside down.
Who's ready to party?
That's like how I feel like let's party is. Like it's not like an earnest.
What would you rather people say?
I think that you should just be really clear and literal. Like we're going to do drugs. We're going to the club.
You want people to say what they mean.
Say what you mean.
Okay.
What does party mean?
But what if they're trying to be coy? But I feel like an earnestly cool, like I couldn't imagine like the coolest person I know saying let's party.
No. MC Nanda.
MC Nanda, shout out, former
like
guest of the
pod. She would never say let's
party. Do you think Paris Hilton says let's party?
Let's party. Yeah, but like in an ironic way.
Yeah.
I think it's funny if she says it.
It's a little like early 2000s, which is coming back.
Kristen Cavallari, Lauren Conrad, name more white blonde women.
Wow.
Of the early 2000s.
Early aughts. Bush era. They were saying let's party.
It does. It feels just, yeah, like let's, I don't feel safe in an environment where people are using party as a verb in such a sense.
No. I just, again, I can't really, but I'm with you though. This is a boys club. We must.
Like, I love Andy Cohen. So this is not negative Andy Cohen. I would not speak negatively about another gay guy on the podcast, but he's like, yeah, I like to party. He says that on a scene. He's like,
yeah,
Andy.
But he's like 50, isn't he?
Somehow makes it worse.
No, it's not. I feel like that's exactly who would be saying that.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Andy Cohen would definitely say let's party, but not in a, I don't mean that in a bad way to him. I just mean I think that that's like
there, maybe it is something that maybe older people crazy. So, no, we don't have hard opinions on this. We're very fluid. All the opinions are kind of
in flux. This is a dialogue at the end of the day.
The opinions are like clay.
We call out boys clubs to really get into them. Good, bad, and ugly.
There's something like someone who's like, hey, do you party? That's hot. But like, they're like, oh yeah, I party. I guess it's kind of like,
so
are you?
So it depends on who's saying it.
If
they
have something to prove or not.
Okay, okay. If you're trying to say it, like if you're somebody who's like, because okay, one time I was at this, I was with some friends at like a mountain weekend type of thing, and Connor just shuddered.
Triggering.
and
it was in Tennessee.
No, it was in Colorado. It was after college, and there was this one guy who was friends with like one of the. Like, he was a friend of a friend. I didn't know him going into this, but he was there with us. And he, like, spent the entire weekend talking about, like, really making a point to bring up the fact that he wanted to do cocaine and, like, where's the cocaine and who has the cocaine, but, like, in a way that was, like, kind of joking, but always kind of joking about it. And I was like, you're crazy. And you sound like a loser. Like, if you want to do it, by all means. Have fun. Go do your thing. But, like, why are you being so, like, weird about it and always bringing it up? And it's the same thing. It's like, why are you always, like...
We want to party in the same way that we want... Parj did it. We want to have fun in the same way that we Taylor Swift dresses, which is quiet casual, quiet luxury.
Quiet luxury.
Partying should be quiet luxury.
Well, because there's nothing less cool to me than somebody who, like, won't shut up about it.
Or wears Gucci across their chest.
Sure.
And it's like, oh, we believe you.
We believe
you. We believe you. Who are you trying to tell?
Show, don't tell.
Exactly.
Show, don't tell.
Yeah.
And that's at the end of the day what it's all about. Show, don't tell.
That's how I feel about that. Especially as an alcoholic. One time this girl at my work, she said that I sounded like I just took an 8-ball of cocaine. And then I was like, I'm sober. And I was like, so offended. Anything to be the victim. I was like, so offended.
Wow. Really pulling that card out.
I'm sober. How dare you? How dare you say that?
Did she say anything back?
No. The music is a loud room. I'm on a mic. No one else is.
Okay. And of course, if you've ever been to Connor's class, you know that there's, it's you, I mean, so many things are being said. You can't really keep track of everything.
Yeah. You're not getting a word in.
Because by the time you've done saying that, you're like, and we're up for 4, 3, 2.
I'm a good counter.
I believe it.
It is crazy. Sometimes my brain will go a little and I'll be like, oh my God, I just kind of kept talking. And I think I said all the right words without even thinking about it.
I'm sure. That's you and I both have jobs where we don't work ultimately that many hours out of the week.
That's fair.
But the hours were there, you can't turn off for a second.
It feels like I took the SAT every time we leave.
No, it's like very I'm putting out so many fires the whole time. I'm like keeping kids in line. I'm keeping them from hitting each other. We got to keep the soccer balls together. We got to teach people things.
I'm keeping girls from falling over. Usually men are the ones when there's some girl will bring her boyfriend and I'm so happy that they're there, but he will start to fall and I will catch him and he will never see
and you'll kiss.
Well, then we'll kiss. Catch him with my lips.
You should catch him and give him a little kiss on the head.
I know. Be like, there you go, buddy.
When you you're go by to adjust people, you should kiss him on the head.
That's really scary. There's nothing scarier than someone that asks you to touch them a lot. And you're like, I don't know if I want to touch you at all anymore.
Wait, I was just reading I've been reading the Succession scripts. They're really good if anybody's interested. And there was a part where Kendall, I forget if they were talking about Kendall. I don't know if he admitted this, but somebody was, it was in reference to Kendall Roy. And it was something to the effect of like, he was doing yoga to be adjusted by the instructor just to feel the touch of another person.
Oh,
I was like, wow, that's dark.
I have to see that scene.
What a good image.
How did he show that?
I think it was said, like it was like a, it might have been like a joke or something, but.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was kind of like directing on the page.
Or an earnest admission. I don't know.
As script notes would say, directing on the page.
Yes, I was actually just listening to script notes. Shout out to our other podcasters.
Our coworkers, our colleagues.
I was listening to the episode with Christopher Nolan, who directed The Dark Knight, Oppenheimer, etc. And he had this great like line about in Oppenheimer. It was like the quiet shuffling of bureaucracy or something like that, or the quiet murmurs of bureaucracy were happening. And I was like, oh my God, that's gorgeous to describe like a courtroom or something.
Yeah.
Or like a government building.
That is really beautiful.
I know.
I'm going to say it. Taylor Swiftian.
Yeah. She's a writer.
It's so funny to me that Christopher Nolan, like to me, Batman and Dunkirk are an Oppenheimer. They are not the same kind of movie. One is about a war and one is about make-believe. War happened.
Yeah, but you know what they all have in common?
Men.
Yeah, they're all, it's like all like dark, sinister, darkness of man, like, you know, kind of like, you know, in the most horrible of situations, like what are men doing?
That's why I couldn't even engage with The Dark Knight Rises, my favorite character got killed early. Do you know this?
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Dies early. I loved her.
I saw it a long time ago, but I remember really loving that movie. It was one of my favorites for a while.
It was fantastic for a while, exactly the first hour. And then you're like, she's dead for real? She blows up.
Wow, they killed the one girl.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, fifth on the call sheet, I imagine, behind 4 men. That's hard.
Never should be the case.
I know. So I can engage with that. Do you have any boys clubs?
I do. My boys club for this week is skiing and snowboarding.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's relevant because I just got back from a trip out to Park City with my family to go skiing and snowboarding. And Maddie, shout out.
Every time someone describes skiing to me, I don't know how to describe this to you, this experience I have. And it's like, I don't get it. I don't understand.
No, totally. So let me paint the picture for the boys at home. I have snowboarded when I was a little kid, like maybe 5 times.
Not in Savannah, Georgia.
I was little. I was like 7. Oh. When we lived in Syracuse, New York, like for one winter, I went probably less than 5 times.
At like the park.
At like a small like kiddie resort in Syracuse that's like already small. It's probably a hill. Like I was like, anyway, so under 5 times in my life I have snowboarded. I have skied once. It was in January 2020, right before the pandemic. I went and visited a friend who works out there. I was so horrible. I fell the whole time. It was bad. I was not... I just don't understand
How we were both traveling that time because I went to London that time.
Wow. We started the virus. But I didn't know how to turn. I didn't know how to stop myself. It was just like I felt like I was going way too fast. I don't like going fast. I'm afraid of heights, so I don't love the lift. I don't like there's so many people like zooming by you. It's a lot, and it's like there's kids. It's
running in Central Park.
No, but worse, because imagine you just can't stop yourself. Ugh. And you're going so much faster than you could running.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. I don't know how to ice skate. My memory of ice skating is my armpits were hurting. Why? Because my dad was holding me up with his hands in my armpits. And the moment he let go,
they
I would fall.
They should have. I can see this. I was thinking about you. I was like trying to imagine you on skis, and it was making me laugh.
Could you imagine being my dad, a straight guy, the straight man
holding up your gay son as he like Bambi on ice?
That is so. And like you don't know that it's gonna get better for gay people.
No.
You're just like, God, this condition my son has.
You just say
so
he is just never gonna skate. We just gotta keep him away from the rink.
And people are staring at you, and you're kind of like. Growing up, because you have a child, so you're kind of letting go of your own care about people's perception of you and being like, no, I love my son.
Totally.
However he is.
Yeah.
Falling over.
Kind of beautiful. Would you grab the sides?
I would grab the sides the whole time. And then I went to Catholic school where we would have parties at the roller rink
no.
that got shut down and turned into a gym at one point,
Thank
but
God.
Not early enough. And
damn.
Yes, and we'd go in. I couldn't roller skate.
Yeah, that's hard too.
I never could do anything where you're moving. And when we were sledding, I never knew how to stop. So I would just throw myself off the side. I've never seen anyone stop any other way, honestly.
Yeah, I guess you just kind of wait till it stops itself and then you got to walk back up. But
in front of a tree.
Yeah, no, sledding is, yeah. But the, okay, so anyway, so we're going on vacation and I like am reluctantly like, okay, whatever. Maddie's an amazing skier. My parents both know how to ski. My sisters learned last year. Noah learned 2 years. My brother learned 2 years ago. My aunt and uncle are coming. They both snowboard and have for a while. I'm the only one who doesn't really know how to do this. So it's already quite an ego hit for me to be the worst at this extreme sport that I'm now learning at the age of 26.
It's too late to learn new things.
So ultimately, I ended up okay.
Well, you're here.
And people, on the slopes, my family mostly, were raving about the speed in which I picked something up, which I think nobody knows that it's actually not a compliment to be like, oh my God, you're so much better than you were, because it's like, why are we talking about when I was bad?
Can you tell me what you do with your hands and the sticks, and do they have knives
on
the end?
So I didn't ski. I snowboarded.
The whole time?
The whole time.
Okay.
And that was no sticks involved.
Okay.
Yeah. But the only thing that sucks about that is if you're skiing, you have the poles to, if it's a flat section, you can just like push yourself forward with the poles, you put them in, and you're like, and if you're snowboarding, you have to like take your foot out and like hop.
Did you ever cry?
I didn't cry, but I screamed and had some expletives and I was like not happy with a lot of stuff. And then there's these little kids just zooming right past you.
Nepo
no problem
babies.
In the world. Snowboard Nepo babies.
Little Baldwins.
They're so cute though. These like, Maddie calls them the jelly beans because they're always wearing like bright colors and they're like 2 feet tall.
I think it's brave of you to learn something new that is that risky to your body.
Thank
and
you.
Also mental well-being because
Thank
the
you.
Brain is really sensitive.
It's just like really hard to be like learning a new thing that's very scary with a lot of people watching you and your family kind of being like, come on, you can do it. And it's like, just let me fail in peace. I don't need you guys to watch me fall over and over and over again. And it's like, I just kept falling on my knees and on my butt and just like on my face. Like, it's just like, you're just falling endlessly. And it's like,
sometimes that's how I feel when I meet new people.
An entire,
you skiing is my social anxiety.
It's hard. Just an entire day of just falling and falling and falling and being like, because you like, until you have the confidence to like, know that you can maneuver and stop yourself and stay up. It's just like you keep bailing yourself out by falling, kind of, you know, because I'm like,
I can't ride a bike, Nico.
No, I know.
A revel, any of it.
Yeah.
I think that is so, the scariest thing is, like, I love our legs.
I don't like to go fast out of control. I've never liked, I don't like when, I hated in high school when you would end up in somebody's car who drives too fast. I hated being on like a jet.
What you said end up in painted such a picture.
You know how that is. And I was always the smallest. And so somehow I would end up like the one who wasn't in a seat and didn't get to wear a seatbelt. And I was like, why do I have to die? Because I'm the smallest. I don't even want to be in this car. Anyway. And then I didn't ever like being on like jet skis because they go so fast. I was just like, I just don't trust anybody else driving. I didn't like, you know, I just none of it.
I worry about my dad because he spends the summers at the shore. And he will just kind of go off and kayak every day.
See, that's you're never going too fast on a kayak, though. You can't go that fast.
You can't go fast at all. What if a shark comes and you just can't go fast?
No, he'll be okay. He can whack it with the paddle.
He'll be okay, but he's had a lot of years, and it's kind of like, it's like, well.
If he goes getting eaten by a shark at the shore, I'll be flabbergasted.
And then I already know my eulogy will be like, what is enough time? Is it 30 years? Is it 40? What's enough time? There was never going to be enough time.
No. Wow, I'm glad you're already thinking about that.
The best parts of me are of my dad.
That's really sweet.
I thought that the other day. And then when I see it on Instagram as if this like thing I just thought up, you'll be like, asshole, you fucking wrote that, you piece of shit. Any part of me that is kind is from my dad. Because he was very kind.
He's and any part of you that makes money is from your mom.
Completely. Any part of me that is anxious or right is from my mom.
I love that. That's funny. I feel like any part of me that is calm is from my mom.
That's nice.
Well, she's anxious too, but she's like, I don't know. She always has like a great attitude.
And then your drive, not to say that your mom's not driven. You don't become a doctor by being driven.
She's driven in a different way than me, I think. I think I have drive from both of them, but I'm a lot more like my dad in terms of the way that I view like my own relationship to my work.
I think you have to be.
Like my dad.
Not that I don't want you to be freed of anything that you don't like about yourself. But like,
I think there's a balance. Yeah. There's a balance.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I think it's better to be on one side of the balance than the other.
Well, I guess we're getting into a conversation of what's the word I'm looking for?
Work-life integration.
Yeah, work-life, but like the way that like what's the word when you like can live with anxiety that helps you out?
Cope?
No.
Boys,
if you're at home being like, you idiots, it's this, please shout
medicate.
It to our ears. No. It's like, what is it called when you like functioning? I think I have high functioning like anxiety where it's like, yes, my anxiety does manifest in a way that I think does make me successful or like helps me be successful or helps me to, you know, whatever, stay driven. But I don't think it's always a good thing necessarily. I think in our capitalistic world, perhaps, yes.
Yeah. Like, well, that's what's nice about, I think, probably going skiing is that, like, at some point you do need to just kind of, like, turn it all off and look at the stars and have a relationship with you and your creator and be like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What does this mean? And
yeah.
Who will it be at the end?
It is beautiful, though, to just be, like, everybody's just out there having a good time.
Yeah.
You know? So when you get good at it, it's fun. Also, speaking of boys clubs, there was a bachelor party there.
Bachelor.
A bachelor party.
It was a man.
A man. There were about anywhere between 12 and 20 of them.
Oh, my God.
All in banana costumes.
Why?
Skiing.
You don't have to do that.
I know. I was amazed that they got all 12 of them. I would be like, no, I'm not putting on a banana costume.
What was their age?
Like 20s to 30s.
Where do you think they were from?
Anywhere,
the 90s.
Anywhere USA.
That sounds like a Full House episode.
It was just, I was like, I'm all for, you know, if you guys want to all wear something similar so you can find each other, but why a banana costume?
Is that a cock?
Maybe.
I said it on the pod before.
Maybe. I don't know. I also got other thing is they have on these ski resorts, there's like little yurts, huts, like up in the, off the lifts, like up higher in the mountain that have like food and beer and stuff like that, which is very fun because then you can stop and have food and not have to get off the mountain. So I got a beer when we were up there. And I didn't have my ID on me because I just had my ski jacket. And the lady was like not having it with me. And my mom was like, he's 26.
That's funny. Wait, I need to know how you knew it was a bachelor party.
I overheard them. They were at this yurt.
What words did they say?
Somebody said, you guys a bachelor party? They said, yep.
I don't think I want to be a part of a bachelor party because that to me is very glory days.
But it doesn't have to be. This is why we do Boys Club, is to reinvent these things for ourselves. You
I
can
want
be
mine
in my
to be
bachelor
called
party.
Congrats. Well, I absolutely will be. And I want yours and mine to be called congrats on getting married party. Congrats party.
Okay, we don't have to call it a bachelor party if you don't want to.
Even in like an engagement party. Bachelor is like, Google mountains. Go fuck the snow.
Yeah, we're going to go, yeah.
And like, I don't like that. Those are people that want to party.
Yes, to bring it back to partiers, those guys did want to party.
They
want
to party.
My God. I also heard one of the most insane things. I wrote it down. I was like, oh my God. So we were at this after, while we were in Park City, we went downtown after dinner one night. Me, Maddie, and my sisters went out to a bar and just like grab a drink after dinner. And there was like, it was like the straightest environment ever. So many cowboy hats on the women, mostly.
Well, but Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, they did buy cowboy hats when they were in Aspen.
You gotta.
Well, Aspen and Park City are different.
Well, but the same vibe.
Not to be uninternational. Sorry.
But yes, it's like, it's where you get the cowboy hats and stuff. And anyway, I overheard, so next to us there was a group of women who were like, you know, pretty-ish looking straight women. Not my cup of tea, but for some people. And
I would have thought they were gorgeous.
You would have. You actually would have.
They were Kelly McEnany.
Exactly. And then there were these dudes on the other side of us. And I overheard one of them, like, mention, like, one of the girls. And it, like, to be like, that girl.
You are a listener. You are a seer. Oh, yeah. You're an observer.
And then he goes, that one in the hat, she's got my name tattooed on her ass.
Oh, no. Wait, from the Bachelor Boys?
No, different guys.
Wait, that's so funny. Nick Carraway.
You did not just say that.
That's really crazy. And he said it loud enough for you to hear. You're the littlest ears. You're the littlest ears. Even you heard it.
Like, even I heard it. I want everyone to know my hearing is fine. My ears are just small. So if anything, they're actually really good. They're doing more with less.
When there's something so this is such a movie idea. There's something very Nick Carraway of Gatsby about you kind of just going on this like trip and then you actually, it becomes about you following this bachelor party around and just like seeing everything that happens with them.
And just watching them.
Now, what's the plot message conflict? I don't know.
We haven't decided yet.
Not all movies have that.
This is ultimately a working it out podcast.
And that's the problem in the industry that we alluded to earlier.
That there's no place to work things out anymore. Everything's got to be a finished product for reals. Blah, 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 blah,
I know. See, what I will say, wait, back to that point. In some ways, what I like about reels, we're comedians. You're gonna have to work with us here, even if you hate this.
Work with us.
It gives you an end date, like it gives you a goal for a little joke, and be like, oh, I can put this on the internet.
It does give you a quicker milestone to achieve for sure. Yes. It gives you something to give yourself things to work towards.
Yes.
When there's like not a lot.
When everything's going your control. Bankrupt.
Yeah, well, there's just not a lot that we can control in terms of opportunity that we get, aside from, like, so it does give you a chance to be like, okay, I'm going to post one thing a week or one thing a month or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
I feel, I miss the ski talk.
Yeah, we're back. We'll get back to it. Because I was going to say, these guys, she's got my name tattooed on her ass. I was like, that is ridiculous. I, like, was like, am I in a movie right now?
Highly
like,
sexist and offensive.
Fuck?
Ownership.
Crazy.
Wait, I don't like that.
It's so interesting. Like, we've maybe talked about this before, but like, for the most part, like, even when we're in New York, like, the straight guys in New York are metrosexual compared to like the straight guys in anywhere else, USA.
Chicago. I noticed a big difference from Chicago.
Yeah, it's interesting. And so, like, I don't know, like, I, for the most part, and you, for the most part, aside from like comedy, like, the most straight guys we see are when we're like, what I consider co-ed comedy spaces, which is when straight people and gay people in the comedy scene get together. But for the most part, we're around other gay people. And so whenever I'm in a room like this where it's like, oh my God, everybody in here is so hyper straight, I was just like, I haven't been in a room like this since maybe like college.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy. And so it was just jarring. It was so many guys like that.
I know. It's easy to be special in a room.
And I was like
that.
Nervous for my sisters and Maddie. I was like, this is a crazy space. Like, I don't want these like guys looking at you. I don't know.
Was
just
it
like,
Trumpy?
Hard, you know, it's hard to know.
I don't, men, gay men too. I don't like this ownership mentality.
Yeah.
No one owns anyone, especially me. And I hooked up with a guy.
He wanted to own you.
It always goes back to this. People are like, you're a slut.
No, nobody would say this.
It's a new slutty story.
No, it's not. This is a sex positive podcast.
This is a sex positive podcast by a sex negative priest.
And it's a Catholic podcast.
Yes. Two people who love God.
True.
Two people at least who could hold a conversation about God.
Yeah.
Two people who, so I don't know.
Two people who hold space for God.
We hold space for God. Because I just like, what if we do get to the end and it's like, no, that was important. I just want to have all our bases covered.
Totally. You gotta. Anyway.
I would go back into the closet in a second. If someone said we actually have good intel.
No, 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 no. Okay. If you're saying if for sure we would go to hell.
I think I'd be, I don't like sex that much.
But listen. I don't know how you feel, but I certainly feel like going back into the closet would be hell.
Wait, I agree with you. But I think that my gayness feels like something I can't die for. It's not that, it's not that great. It's not that great at all.
You don't want to put your life on the line for it.
I don't know. It'd be nice to be married to a lady in the 50s and have kids and just like have a clear day today sometimes.
I guess. I hear that.
But this guy hooked up with, he was like really
there
great.
Is something really nice about the limitations of a certain type of life.
Oh, option. and choice is the devil of happiness, the enemy of happiness.
It doesn't have to be, though.
Yeah.
I think it's the pressure of the right choice rather than just like the endlessness of, well, the endlessness of choice is so impossible.
Sylvia Plath with the figs.
It's one of the things, I think it's one of the reasons that a thing like TikTok is so popular, because it takes away your choice.
Oof.
It gives you endless things without
It'll
choice.
It always feed you.
It knows what you want. It's learning you in a certain way.
Babe, learn the stars. Learn yourself.
Learn yourself, algorithm. Okay.
I could tell that this guy, like, I like dominant men. I don't like aggressive or to feel like I'm like owned.
You like somebody who feels secure.
Yeah. And that's like, feels like this like weird thing with.
Well, it's like, I feel like you would want somebody who's like secure and is like a caretaker and like a man of the house who like knows how to like do the taxes and like get
my
things
dad.
Done.
But not because I have daddy issues, because he's the first person who's ever nice to me.
So right.
It's actually healthy.
Right. But isn't like, but like also like lets you be you and be free.
Yeah. We are never
not somebody
be...
who feels owed something for what they're doing.
Oh my god! Yes, we are too specific and determined to just be like kind of like some guy in the house.
Yeah.
Like I'm not like I'm not just gonna be like a wife. I can just be like a wife.
Yeah.
Like, and if I were a wife, I'd be like a wife who's like working on like a really intense project on the side.
Sure.
Like I can't just be, I don't know. And I think that there probably are people that want to just like fall into that. And like, but that's like this thing I do think I run into where it's like, I feel like this, I don't know how, we can't edit this one, so we can't take it all out.
we don't have to. But okay, this brings us back to something we talked about before. I'm thinking, or our conversation here about the trad wives.
We can spin anything.
Trad wives.
I was just talking to somebody about trad wives.
So weren't we just talking about that?
We were on this podcast.
Yeah.
And I brought it somewhere else.
See, boys, this is the power of the podcast. And I'm sure that you guys are bringing some of these conversations into your real lives. And for that, we thank you. The trad wives. Something that I'm now kind of like, you know, we're talking about this, like, you know, choice being abysmal. I do think this, like, I don't know, again, to go back to like late stage capitalism, internet, et cetera, like it just has opened up the world in such a way that like, and so quickly, all at once, the world just kind of exploded open for everybody. It was like, I don't know, like now everybody has access to do kind of anything they want. Not everybody, I shouldn't say that. That's not true at all. But to this point, I think there are some people who are leaning into this like trad wife thing because it's like, I would rather just submit to, there's a certainty and a safety to just being like, I know what I'm getting up and doing every day. And I like, and I feel comfortable.
You've expressed that you want that in this world.
I would love that in this world. I would love to have that in and get to do all the things that we want to do. And
I'm sure
and
that
I
does exist.
At some point there would be. And I think if you get to a certain financial stability, then that kind of feeling goes away. Because I would love also the ability to be like, I'm going to go to fucking Greece for a month or something and like go, and like that could be my, what I'm doing for, like, it's not even that I feel like I have to have like, you know, a steady thing that's all year round. I would be fine to have like kind of a dynamic lifestyle. I do like that. And I like to like be on my feet and like doing project based work. But if it was just like consistent with the income, that would be nice.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine the future.
It is.
When I was 17, my voice teacher, John Ray, did a bad job because you've never heard me sing on this podcast. He was like, do you want me to introduce you to older gay men? And I thought that was really weird.
And he was straight.
He was straight. And I was like, that's the weirdest thing ever. Fucking loser, freak, groom.
No.
And what I think I really understand now why. Because it's like, what does the, especially at that time, this, I'm 29. I'm not going to pretend I'm not. I'm 20 fucking nine. And I'm like so lucky to be 29. Because one time my BAC was 0.4.
Episode 97, it comes out.
I'm 29.
Oh my God, boys, we're so close to the 100th.
Yeah.
Should we do just us for the 100th?
I was thinking we should shoot for
the
Andy
moon?
Cohen.
Okay, like, go for somebody big.
She's
okay,
wait, stand her.
You were saying you're 29 years old.
I'm 29, and yeah, I do feel like, I mean, I think you're like being gay, but then also there's this beautiful thing where it's like, what's your life going to be?
Yeah.
And I don't wish that I was someone who had everything decided for me already, but like, like earlier, like there is such a balance where it's like, okay, when I'm 40, what am I going to be doing? Will I be writing for something? Will I be on something? Will I have a husband? Will I have kids?
Yeah.
I have no idea. And that's not that long away. Life is happening. It is moving.
Yeah.
We are moving right now. At the same time, though, JFL went down. Why wouldn't the whole earth be next? So it's like, who fucking knows? But I think he was like, you should meet
first
older
they came
gay people.
For the Canadians, yeah. And then they came for the rest of us.
It started with Canada, and then the whole globe was eclipsed.
Yeah, ended with a bang.
Yeah.
No, I know. It's dark times. It feels hard to, I don't know, this election cycle is like, I'm like not looking forward to like us getting closer and closer to November.
No, it's really scary.
It feels like we're just like spiraling towards, because the end of the day, neither option is good.
Yeah.
Neither option is good. We're between, it was like in 2020, it was the lesser of two evils. It's still the lesser of two evils to some extent. I think there was an argument to say that in 2016, it was the lesser of two evils. Like there was I'm not saying lesser of two evils won. I'm saying Hillary would have been the lesser of two evils. But there's, I don't know. Like, it's been since Obama, since there's been a candidate I think anybody was excited about, really. I mean, I think people were excited about Hillary, but I think that was, like, super segmented, obviously, as we saw.
Yeah. I know, it's a scary time. But, guys, if France and people got mad when people don't like when their podcasters are sad, and we're here to tell you, then listen to a different podcast. Or send us medicine.
No, we're hoping to provide you comfort that we'll all be in this together no matter what.
Yeah, oh, we'll be here.
We'll be here.
We'll be here on
We'll be here giving you election coverage.
It is scary because I also think like if all my dreams came true, then my sense of reality would also completely disappear. And I fear that too.
You fear that you wouldn't be in touch with like the way the world is.
I have always lived as this thing. And it's like, well, if all my dreams came true, then that the whole, what I see as the world would completely shift.
Well, here's what back up like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Don't you think some of your dreams have come true already?
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know those girls on the internet, always girls, that are like, I mean that as a slur, that are like, you at one point dreamed of the life you're living now.
Yeah. No, it's hard to remember, though, and it is true, that we have to be grateful for what we have now because there's a version of us who wanted this so bad, and we're here, and we have it, which is good. And
that's so beautiful.
I think that it's, so to your point, though, I think that like they're,
and that's true because we always believed in ourselves when no one else cared about us. And we always worked on things that we thought, oh my God, don't cut this. We always worked on things that we thought no one else, we had no reason to believe anyone else would ever want to read or care about. Uh-huh. And then when the time came that someone did, they were ready to go.
Yeah.
We fucking always bet on ourselves.
Always been ready.
This is the Joe Rogan part of the podcast. We always have fucking bet on ourselves.
We have, but you have to bet on yourself because who else, if nobody's going to bet on you, you gotta.
Oh my. It's a Disney movie. It's Disney on ice coming to a city near you.
And I'm following a bunch of bachelor boys.
That's what we mean.
But anyway, the all this to say, the what was I saying? Oh, about like your, in terms of like, of course we'll always like it'll be a lifelong journey to like become at peace with who we are, and become at peace with like the way that we exist in the world and the way we relate to people and all those things. And so
it didn't happen to my aunt until they put her on meds at the end.
Well, it happened eventually.
She went into hospice, left hospice. They don't usually do that.
Wow.
Hospice usually is the, it wasn't for her.
Wow.
She went and she left.
Said, this is a stop along the way, my journey. This is not where it ends.
Yeah, it's amazing to kind of set a record at hospice. Like, good for you, girl.
Yeah, wow. I have something we have to look forward to this year.
Summer?
Olympics.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, that could be fun.
The Summer Olympics.
Yeah, it's also the Euros for any soccer fans out there. That'll be fun.
They're in London, Paris.
The Olympics
maybe
are in
Tokyo.
Paris.
London. I actually didn't mean to do that. You don't know that song?
London, Paris.
Maybe Tokyo.
What song is that?
Anything. You don't know Hillary Duff's whole discography?
No, I don't.
Wake up.
Of course.
On a Saturday night.
I never understood that. Wake up on a Saturday night.
She slept all day because she was partying. And then she says, wait, it's funny how things change because I think she says, wait, Hollywood and Vine, which must be an intersection.
It is.
Okay, we've really grown and now we've seen the world a little.
I think Hollywood and Vine is like Beverly Hills maybe.
But when I first heard that song, I had no way to know. Mm-hmm. I had a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I didn't know Hollywood and Vine.
Yeah.
And then she says, London, Paris, maybe Tokyo, anything can happen, anywhere to go tonight. And they used to play that as a music video on the TV.
Wow. I imagine being in a world where you had the kind of money where you could go anywhere in the world that night. But it's like, you don't want to go to Tokyo tonight. That's a 6-hour flight if you're in LA.
I think that would really fuck with our sense of reality. And ultimately, I hate being...
Totally.
So the reason I stopped doing mushrooms a year ago. I haven't done mushrooms in a year. But I might do them again soon. I was never addicted to mushrooms.
I think a year's a good distance between these things.
Yes, because I was worried that I lost the ability to control when I was worried that it was like becoming like a manic thing of whether or not I was not a good conversation with myself anymore.
Yeah.
But I also just
good,
like never.
It's good to know that about yourself.
Yes.
And to like check in.
I hate being out
of control.
It's
super powerful. It's hard to do that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hear that? Okay. I feel like I hate being out of control. Mm-hmm. And there's something about, oh, but that's also true for love. See, we're out loud thinkers here. But like, there's something about having unlimited money or whatever, where it's like suddenly that world feels like this, like we're controlled by our means.
Yeah.
And we're controlled by the things that we want now. And we're controlled by our current reality.
Yeah.
And that it somehow is comforting. Where it's scary to imagine a world where we had any money and could go to Tokyo.
Yeah. I think that there's a balance there, because obviously, like, if you are somebody who has, in the current world that we live in, this capitalist world, if you're somebody who has all the means to everything, you are out of touch. Versus if there was a world where we all had financial stability, I don't think we would lose touch. I think we would actually get more in touch with what it means to be human.
Yeah.
If we had that lifted from us.
I know.
It's like, there's so many studies that's like, if you just have like a universal basic income, like, they're like, every, I think it's like something like IQ points go up, like your IQ goes down, like you get stupider if you have to focus on, like, if you feel financially insecure, because it's like general insecurity just makes you go into this like fight or flight, like almost like animal brain.
Totally.
So you become less like
Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Exactly. Like you can't focus on the higher things. You can't focus on like the, I don't know, like things you deserve to be thinking about, because you're so focused on like, where's my next this, that, or the other coming from.
Yeah. And I've said this too. I never feel happy or creative when I don't thrive under pressure in that way. I don't know that you do either.
No, it's not good.
I think, and I'm sure there are creative people maybe that do, but I think like we both are really creative in times of peace, mm-hmm. in a peacetime economy,
mm-hmm.
emotionally.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I don't know. That's hard. And then there's also this other realization, like the reality that maybe we would have unlimited, what we want for. Maybe everything actually would feel the same. It would just shift. We would want for something else.
Well, there's so many things money can't buy, as we know.
Husbands.
Exactly.
And you wouldn't trust. If someone wanted to marry you, you'd be like, prenup.
Oh,
like,
wow.
You just want my money.
So that would cause a new issue for you of mistrust of men.
Yeah, I hate men. I don't trust any of them.
Connor's trying to be a trad wife.
I want to be a trad wife.
To a woman. A trad husband.
I actually do think I should. I think that my husband's probably in LA.
You think so?
Yeah, there's something about LA where it's like they're... This is the craziest thing I'm ever going to say. I feel like the gay people there seem somehow, by the grace of God, more cerebral.
Mm.
Is that possible?
I don't think it's true.
You think?
I find that hard to believe.
My sense about... Maybe it's because when you're in LA, everyone's like, read my pilot. It's like, you're a writer? They wrote a pilot?
And then you read them and you're like, you're not a writer.
It's crazy how anyone can have a pilot. Anyone can download Final Draft.
Well, anybody can... I don't even know if that's true, because
I was at
Equinox
working on Final Draft. Do you think people were like, okay, cool.
He's got a deadline.
Yes, bish.
Self-inflicted.
Equinox is ultimately a WeWork.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Another boys club to think about is there's this rock climbing gym.
Vital.
Where there's always people there like doing work on their little patio. And I'm like,
I love it there.
Really?
Makes me want to be a parent.
You think it's a third space?
I think it. Yes. One time I toured that with this guy that I dated, random guy.
We need more third spaces that are not. Were we talking about this with? No. Maybe I was listening to this.
Whenever I mention a guy on the pod, I'll throw something like random guy in the event that he's listening to make him feel bad.
Wow.
I don't know if you've ever noticed that.
Well,
I did it one time a long time ago.
One thing I love about you is so often I don't really learn a guy's name of yours for like a long time. It's always like tall guy or like lawyer guy or crypto guy. It's like there's always like a little like I remember them that way because that's how we talk about them. And then it's not until you start dating them where you're like, oh, it's this guy.
I'm going to do a book of essays and each chapter is going to be called crypto, tall, lawyer, global affairs. Alcohol PR.
Wow.
Two of those.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
First, so we're
going for the vice. Going right for the forbidden
like
fruit.
The
okay, yeah. Eve biting from the apple.
Feel it a little bit at risk. But Vital, I love. I am. It's all these kids just taking rock climbing classes while their parents wait for them to be done.
But in the middle of the day, there are adult people who are doing these like rope, like those like ribbon, you know, those like, or those big, what even is that called?
Aerial yoga.
Yeah, it's like some aerial, but like they're like on the, like, you know what I'm talking about?
Enough.
Like imagine like a big, almost like a curtain.
Yes, and to do that in public.
But at 2 in the afternoon.
I'd want to rent a room.
At 2 in the afternoon on a Monday, I was like, what do y'all do for work? I know why I'm out and about, but why are
That's
you out
That's New York,
about?
Though.
I know, it really is.
You would, like, Chicago, this life that we have.
It's charmed.
Would have been hard in Chicago because everyone would be, like, not around. Whereas here, When's the last time we recorded a podcast? It wasn't on Tuesday at 2 p.m. We've got all these people coming and going.
I know. We are it literally is a Tuesday at 2:19 p.m. right now, guys.
Yeah, like we really, it is charmed in New York.
We have a charmed
don't really
life.
Work.
We have a charmed life.
You'll walk by, I've heard someone's always at a park.
Again, we both work weird jobs with weird hours that are just really intense for those 2 hours we're there.
Yeah, and then you leave and you're like, who will I be with the rest of the day? And if you're at your job and you think that the difference between you and joy is more hours off, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I'm unhappy. For me, it's not.
Okay, but this is what I'll say to you. Do you feel like you actually, you don't have hours off in that way though? Because it's like you're not working your day job, but you're working your comedy job.
Yes, and sometimes and I'm sometimes like, why do I always think about this? But I also love it. And
I know. It's hard to turn off.
I think that it's really hard to love another person when you want something as much as, oh, this is a lot. Like, what we do is very all-encompassing, mm-hmm. and you're in a relationship with someone who really understands that.
Yeah.
It's hard to just, like, a lot of these guys out here, I feel like they, obviously speaking of dating, it's like, you're talking about, like, life, and I'm talking about just, like, men dating. But, like, this last thing I'll say about men, and then fuck them. But, like, I feel like there are these... It does feel like there's a disconnect in that sense.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, I want this thing really bad that like a lot of these guys don't really seem to totally understand.
Yeah.
And that's hard. And I think it's more than a job, but it is ultimately just a job.
Well, but it's also your dreams.
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, I think we've talked about this before. Like, I think you need somebody who also has something they're chasing in that way.
I know. I really want to date a chef.
That could be good. A chef. Mm. They also work nights. That's good.
Yeah, like a really intense chef.
Yes, chef. Like the bear. I know. I'm like so, obviously, so lucky to have Maddie for so many reasons. But something that I think we both really appreciate is that we do understand each other's job because we both are comedians and writers. And like, we're always talking about like ideas for like scripts or jokes or this or that. And it's just like nice to know that I'm not like, she's never like bored of me talking about it. I'm never bored of her talking about it. It's not like, oh my God, shut up already. Like, I don't really care about this. Whereas if I didn't date, like, I just like wouldn't be able to, we wouldn't be able to like sound ideas off each other in that way.
You'd have to text me like JFL went down. And she'd be like, what the fuck is that? And you'd just be, well, in Canada, there is this thing.
Remember when I was gone last year?
Yeah, it'd be too much. Too much.
Yeah.
But I think maybe it's that in LA, there's a lot of like people that work in a similar thing mm-hmm. that don't have the, like, but there's like all these different functions. And I feel like a lot of that does come out of LA where it's like, there's an agent, there's a producer, there's a manager, there's a guy that does the sound. Like there's all these different things that work around entertainment.
Yeah.
Whereas here, there's like all these different things in general.
There could be music. You can look into the music scene, maybe.
A rock star would ruin my life.
Yeah.
There's two things that would ruin my life. A rock star or a married man.
What about a singer songwriter?
Oh, I would love that. But I'm worried that I would become the supporting character.
Okay.
I'd become the subject.
Exactly. You could be the muse. Would you want? Okay. Would it? Okay. Maybe
Harry Styles fine line about me.
Exactly. Exactly. Like a
Connor's version.
I'm thinking like a Noah Kahan but gay.
You like him?
Yeah,
I've been listening to Styx Season a ton.
I honestly haven't gotten that much into his discography, but like I do like that. I do like his music.
Wait, my boys club is going to be country music.
Good one.
I just got into country music.
Love country music.
I don't know why, but I started listening to Zach Bryan. I don't feel understood.
I'm going to send you some Tyler Childers.
Send that to me.
He's so good.
Yes. I like this one guy, Dylan Gossett, but then I learned he was Trumpy because I follow him on the internet.
Unfortunately, a lot of them are. But Tyler Childers is good. He made the... No, you're going to love him because his cousin is gay. He's from Kentucky in like the... kind of like Appalachian area, and so he made one of his new single off of his like latest album is called In Your Love. It's a beautiful song, and the music video is a love story between two gay men, and it's the first ever major country label to release a music video featuring a gay love story. And he did it because he was like, I want my cousin to be able to see himself in the music we grew up with.
Wait, that's so sweet.
And
he
took a lot of heat from like you know, country music.
No,
like
the country's
lovers.
Nuts.
And a lot of them, he took a lot of heat from that, but he was like, I don't give a fuck.
Zach Bryan, he's our hero, and Zach Bryan is our hero, and Casey Musgrave is our hero. And we're naming Maren Morris. We're naming the people in country that are fucking coming out for gay people. They are saying, move aside.
What about, is Carrie Underwood good? Do we care? Do we know?
I feel like we know she's bad.
Do we?
You know what? We're going to put her mid.
Okay, and then Taylor Swift is she's given us a real will they, won't they with the gay stuff.
Completely. Wait, there's another one who was recently, you know, I've Googled every
of course.
Jason Aldean's wife is the devil, and that's why we will not name her.
She's giving Nancy Reagan.
She's bad.
Yeah.
She's the worst person I've ever Googled.
Yeah.
There's someone else who's really good that's a girl. Oh, no, never mind. I was going to say Maggie Rogers, but she's kind of weird. No problem. Kacey Musgraves, I'm just going to say it. She's a reminder that, like, I don't care how old you are, you might be hot still. She's got so hot. She's like 36, maybe 38. She looked amazing on SNL. No, I agree with you. And in addition.
You know who looks amazing?
Who?
We just looked this up. I think Greta Lee is like, don't quote me on this. I think she's 40. She looks incredible.
She does look incredible.
She looks incredible.
That is, it's never, especially like if you live on the coast, it's never too late to make a doctor's appointment and look hot. They can do anything.
And listen, it's also never too late to be hot because you,
it can be, I meant a therapy appointment. Being authentic. I meant therapy, but also maybe a filler girl, you know?
No.
They can do anything. It is about being authentic. Authentic is hot.
Authentic is hot. It's the hottest thing you can be.
It's all we can be. All we can be is ourselves.
It's all you can be. You have to find your, you have to get closer to you.
I know. I hope we hold on to that as
in your truth.
Everything comes to fruition. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What are we doing on time here?
Well,
wow,
boys.
An hour and one right there on the dot.
If you want anything, please say it out loud.
Yeah. Here to our boys at home. We love you guys. Thank you so much always, as always, for listening. If you want to share this with a friend, like, subscribe, follow us on Instagram, come to a live show if you live in, I'm gonna be I'll plug this right now. I'm doing an hour in New York on April 5th. If you live in New York, if you live in LA, I'm doing an hour on May 11th. I'm also, this is, the tickets are not out yet, but if we have any Pittsburgh listeners, I'm coming to Pittsburgh on May 3rd, so I will be in Pittsburgh if anybody is in Pittsburgh.
Steelers fans. That's Travis Kelce's team. No, it's not.
No, it, that's
but they trade a lot.
Kansas City. Yeah. Okay. We have our monthly show every month. We're gonna be on Thursdays now. Please come on Thursdays. It'll be fun.
It'll be better than Friday.
Well, Thirsty Thursdays.
See, those are the people that want to party.
Those are the people that want to party. So if you're a partier, if you were offended by our party comments,
if you are in your glory day era.
Yeah.
Or if the best days are behind you.
We should do a listener question episode where we answer listener questions.
Do you guys have questions?
Yeah.
Side.
Right into the podcast. If you have, you can email us at boysclubcomedy.com. We have an email.
You check that?
I can.
And you can DM us if you want to.
You can also DM us.
Leave
we'll,
you unread.
We'll put a form out and then we can do listener questions that way.
Yeah.
We'll find a way. We'll get you guys to ask some listener questions because we would love to hear from you guys. I'm really genuinely curious about who all of our boys at home are. We see the numbers. We don't know who. We don't know your beautiful faces and names and, you know, what you're like.
You
want to
know
dislikes.
If you're hot.
No, mostly we want to know if you're kind.
And authentic.
Which we assume you all to be. Anything before we get out of here?
No.
Okay.
Boys, love you.
Love you. What's up, boys at home? Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Boys Club. Connor, where can they find you on Instagram?
At Connor Janda, C-O-N-O-R. Janda is panda with a J.
And you can follow me at Nico Carney, N-I-C-O-C-A-R-N-E-Y. You can follow us both at Boys Club Comedy on Instagram. And we have a live show.
Our live show is at Club Coming, typically on the last Friday of the month. And it is always the two of us and some of our favorite funny people. And we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, often people from the podcast. So come check those out. If you live in New York, we'd love to see you there. Bye, boys.
Bye, boys. We'll be right back.